Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which will be the eighth Sunday in Ordinary Time. This is my definition. I call this Mercy Sunday. It's not Mercy Sunday in the church, but the readings are such that we see the love and the mercy of God. We see it everywhere. God expresses his love to us so much through his mercy. And we can be blind and deaf to it in so many little ways as well as in big ways. So pay attention to these readings. I'm going to have some questions for you to ponder as we look at these readings. The first for this Sunday is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 14 to 15. Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget her infant? Be without tenderness for the child of her womb? Even should she forget, I will never forget you." Graven, to use a scriptural phrase, graven that on your heart. Engrave it on your heart. The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. How many times do we say that over the years of our lives? How many times does that thought go through our head? Because something happens and it shocks us. Unexpected death, unexpected serious illness, relationships broken, people fired from their work, money lost, just all kinds of things that can radically shift our lives. And the first thing we say is, "The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me." Why would God allow this? God always brings good, and in fact, greater good out of our difficulties if we allow him to teach us and we rely on him and he walks us through the situation. We will gain wisdom of heart, and it's priceless because you begin to see God's perspective and God's priorities and what God's after and why God allowed such and such a thing to happen to us. The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. And here's what we have to say back. Can a mother forget her infant? Be without tenderness for the child of her womb? Even should she forget, Jesus says, I will never forget you. We need to take that to heart. Hang in there when things are difficult and dark. Say, Lord, I trust you. I don't feel it, but I trust you. I make a decision to trust you, that you will bring good out of these very difficult circumstances. That's growing in faith, and God will bless it abundantly. Psalm 62 tells us, "Rest in God alone, my soul." Don't put your trust in other people. Don't put your trust in projects. When I say that, it doesn't mean you can't try things, but you don't put the weight of your trust in the things of this earth. You put your trust in God. Rest in God alone, my soul. Only in God is my soul at rest. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be disturbed at all. Only in God be at rest, my soul, for from him comes my hope. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be disturbed. With God is my safety and my glory. He is the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O my people. Pour out your hearts before him. Take Psalm 62. Perhaps that's one of those psalms you should memorize. Look at the whole psalm. Think about it. Ask God, because again, the word is living. The more you memorize it and repeat it, it's not some kind of brainwashing. It's just that God fixes the truth of that word in your depths of your soul, and it sustains you. First letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Brothers and sisters, thus should one regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now it is, of course, required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. It does not concern me in the least that I be judged by you or any human tribunal. I do not even pass judgment on myself. I am not conscious of anything against me. But I do not thereby stand acquitted. The one who judges me is the Lord. So we can't say, well, yeah, I've looked over my life. I'm okay. Therefore, I am okay. No, I may have looked over my life, and I may decide that according to my standards, I'm fine. But we're going to be judged by God. Not by ourselves, not by another close friend. We're going to be judged by God, who loves us more than anyone else and at the same time is perfectly just. So, where Paul says, it does not concern me in the least that I be judged by you or by any human tribunal. I do not even pass judgment on myself. I am not conscious of anything against me. Are we? So he's got a clear conscience, not because he did everything perfectly, but because he repented. I am not conscious of anything against me, but I do not thereby stand acquitted. The one who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, do not make any judgment before the appointed time until the Lord comes, for he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will manifest the motives of our hearts, and then everyone will receive praise from God. God's going to reveal the motives. So we can judge somebody's actions, but we can't judge somebody's intention because we don't know. We can't know that, but God can. So we have to be careful how we judge because we can judge only on external actions. We can't judge the heart. So be very careful of how we judge, but we can see our own heart. So we need to really look and say, what are my motives? What are my intentions for the things I do? Why do I make the decisions I make? Why are these the priorities in my life? Are they the right priorities? Should they change? That's the kind of questions we need to ask ourselves before God and with God. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you," listen to this, "do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." In other words, of course you think about those things, but they shouldn't occupy a great deal of your time. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, and add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wildflowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you? O you of little faith. Whoa. Sometimes we're really short on provision. Sometimes we're really in need. We're frightened. It's fine to ask people for help, but turn to the Lord first. Say, "Lord, will you help me? Will you provide for me? Will you show me the way to go?" Trust him. So do not worry and say, "What are we to eat?" Or, "What are we to drink?" Or, "What are we to wear?" All these things the pagans seek. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. The pagans seek, in other words, those kinds of things preoccupy. the pagan. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He knows you need food, clothing, and shelter. But you, even in the midst of that, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first to be more a disciple, right in your circumstances of need. Seek to be more of a disciple. Lord, I want you to lead me. I may have gotten myself into a mess, or somebody else did something that caused me to be in this mess. Lord, help me to put my energy into following you, into drawing closer to you, so that I can get out of this mess and get on solid ground. Put your priorities in the right place. What are we to drink? What are we to eat? What are we to wear? All these things the pagan seeks. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So I emphasize that. It doesn't mean that food, clothing, and shelter are unimportant. But we've got to put them in the right priority. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given you besides. So put first in your life what's first in the heart of God. That's the important thing. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil. In other words, don't project. I can do that. I can look down the road a week or two or a month or a year and worry about something. But that's silly. And I know it's silly. It's just hard to break the habit. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil. In other words, just focus on what's right here in front of you now and trust everything else to God. Take one day at a time and ask him to help you. And in the process, get your priorities more straight and clear. When I stand before God, he's not going to tell me whether he likes the dress I have on. When I stand before God, it's not going to be my jewelry, and it's not going to be my Cadillacs. In other words, the possessions of this world will mean nothing. It's the state of my soul. Are there jewels in my soul? Is there beauty in my heart? Is there goodness in my mind? When I stand before God, what's really there? What's really important? What really counts? Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to really take stock. I've said that before. But we can't serve two masters. And the Gospel of Matthew tells us that we can't serve two masters. But we try. Oh my goodness, we try. And it might behoove you as we come up to Lent to take a look and say, how many masters am I really serving? I'll say more about this during Lent. But for right now, how many masters am I serving? Is God my Lord, my Savior, my Master? Is he the one who guides my life or not? May God bless us and lead us. Brothers and sisters, to obtain my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That is 1-800-282-4789, Faith More Precious Than Gold, or go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on Free Booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold.